and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Well, welcome to another episode of God's Word is Truth, and we have been going through the Heidelberg Catechism, starting with question answer number one. We've finally made our way through question answer number one, and we are now in that number two that deals with the three things that we need to know as Christians to live and die happily in this comfort. Now, what are the three things the Catechism outlines and that are necessary for us to know that in this comfort we may live and die happily?
The greatness of my sin and misery, how I am redeemed from my sin and misery, and how I am to be thankful to God for that redemption.
And this here is really the breakdown of the rest of the catechism. Because what you have here is the guilt, the grace, and the gratitude. And so, as we come to that, it's important for us to understand that. It's also interesting, isn't it, with the catechism, that dealing with man's guilt, this is the shortest portion, or the shortest section of the catechism, is dealing with man's guilt. And you find that it's three Lord's days, and it only deals with nine questions about man's guilt. Then when we come into that portion or that section that deals with God's grace, we have 27 Lord's Days, and we have 74 question and answers that deal specifically with the grace of God. And then we get into that third section, which is even outlined for us here in question and answer number two, dealing with gratitude, which is 21 Lord's Days, and we have 44 question and answers. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because the Apostle Paul deals with a lot of that man's guilt there in the book of Romans, and the catechism is a breakdown of the book of Romans. I mean, it's sectioned in that way, after that manner. You find man's guilt from chapters 1 and through 3, and you find the grace of God from chapter 4 all the way up to through chapter 11, and then 12 through 16, you have gratitude in our lives. So this is man's guilt. So when the catechism speaks about this, the three things, and as Greg, you said, the greatness of our sin and misery, how we are redeemed from all of our sin and misery, and how we are to be thankful to God for such redemption. Let's deal with that first part, the greatness of our sin and misery. Now, I have to bring it back again. As we talked about last program, where there's so much in the Christian life today, there are so many Christians who lack assurance. You know, there are those that are in the church that are genuine Christians that lack assurance. That's just a fact. There are those that are in the Church of Jesus Christ who are not Christians, who seem to have all kinds of assurance. But you have a mixed bunch within the Church of Jesus Christ. And the remedy for that, we said, was what? How can I strengthen my assurance?
Studying the Scriptures, being grounded in His Word.
Okay, and so on the same token, how do I know the greatness of my sin and misery?
From His Word as well. The Ten Commandments, we can read through those and find out pretty quick that God demands perfect righteousness and satisfying all those commandments perfectly, and we fall far short on every one of them.
So just you know, going through the motions, you know, being baptized as an infant, being catechized, being confirmed, partaking of the Lord's Supper, being a member of the church, going to church every Sunday, putting money in the offering plate. I mean, these are the things that we want to go to find our comfort. And that is not where the scriptures go, where we find our comfort. I'm not saying that these things aren't important. They're important in the life of the Christian. But just because you do them doesn't mean that you are a Christian. Our comfort must be found in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture focuses us on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the road to Emmaus, the disciples. And Jesus opened up their understanding. And when their understanding was opened, they saw the Lord Jesus in the law and in the prophets and the Psalms, you know, all the wisdom literature. They saw that this was the one, he was the one that was prophesied from the beginning, that Moses wrote about. And Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that speak of me." And Jesus is saying that if you go to the scriptures and you don't see me in the scriptures, you've missed it, because they point to me. And that's where our comfort is knowing that we belong to him. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. When he lays down his life for you, he redeems you, he purchases you. And so, going back then to the word teaches us the greatness of our sin and misery. Now, how great do you think your sin is?
Well, I know from Scripture it's pretty great. We like to think it's not. I can always find somebody else that's worse than me. But when I compare myself to somebody else, then I think I look pretty good. But when you compare yourself to Scripture and what it says, not so good.
And who did that in the Scriptures, compared themselves to others?
Well, the Pharisees did.
The Pharisees.
Yes.
And there is a little Pharisee within all of us, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And that little Pharisee, that's the one that the Apostle Paul speaks about, is that he needs to be put to death. Because that little Pharisee wants to compare with others. And Paul says, when you compare yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. In other words, you're foolish. And when you lay your life down against the law of God, and as Dan, as you said, the law of God demands perfection, and you don't see that you've sinned and you've broken all the commandments of God, I mean, you're in a perilous place. You're in a great peril if you don't think you violated every one of the commandments. I hear people talking about things like that all the time, that they're good people. You know, the guy's an adulterer. He's committing adultery with some other woman, and, you know, he doesn't provide for his family. And he says, "But I have a good heart." That's, you're not revealing a good heart. You're revealing a heart that's wicked, a heart that's bearing bad fruit. And so the commandments demand perfection. That's what they demand. And just going to church on the Lord's Day, you're not fulfilling the fourth commandment in its totality. Christ has fulfilled that fourth commandment for us in our stead. That's why our worship is accepted by God, because Christ has fulfilled that for us, and we are received in his presence because of the work of Jesus Christ alone. I think oftentimes, you know, in the Christian life, it's like we get rescued from our sin, and the focus is then off of the rescuer onto me. Okay, so now it's all about me. Now what do I need to do? Now how about I do this? How about I go here? How about we do this in worship? How about, you know, this Sunday, you guys get banners and you run around and dance and do some hula hoops and things. And I mean, wouldn't that be, I mean, we're sincere. We're trying to be genuine here. And that's what happens. We get our focus off of the one who has redeemed us. But he's redeemed us, and the Spirit works in us that we might keep our eyes upon him. The writer of the Hebrews says that we are to fix our eyes upon Jesus, looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so looking unto him is seeing him in his word, which teaches us the greatness of our sin and misery apart from Jesus Christ, where we were, where we would be going, that we were on the broad road that leads to destruction, that it's Christ who comes and brings us on to the narrow road. Just reading through Ezekiel 16 this morning, and Ezekiel 16 deals with Israel as God rescues this nation, his people. And Ezekiel is very graphic when he speaks about the people there who are like a child that was just born. It's laying there in its afterbirth, and it's covered in blood. And the Lord comes and redeems this people and washes off the blood and nourishes it and sees it grows up. And as it starts to grow up, it's naked. And the Lord comes and covers this nation and puts the clothing upon this nation, which is... clearly, it's a figure of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's God who does this. Left to ourselves, we're dead. We have no nourishment, we have no life, we have no hope. And that's why Paul says that many are without God, without hope in the world. So, we know the greatness of our sin and misery from the Scriptures. And I think this is what happens in a lot of churches is we jettison the exposition of the preaching, the very thing that the people need. Why do we do that? Why does that happen in churches where the Word of God is neglected? It doesn't have its proper place.
Well, we don't want to hear that we're bad people. Everybody likes that pat on the back, and I think the Gospels talk about tickling their ears, right? And we don't focus on the true righteousness of God. If you talk about God being a just God and a righteous God and how he cannot tolerate and let sin go unpunished, and we don't want to hear that these days.
Yeah, I think when it speaks about the greatness of our sin, have you ever murdered anybody? Get a true confession here from Elder Greg here.
Not outwardly.
Not outwardly.
Not outwardly.
So what do you mean then, if it's not outwardly?
I don't mean not never convicted either.
We didn't pull him out of the prison either.
I have murdered it within my heart.
But I have, how'd you do that?
You can do it by calling someone a fool. It's that simple.
And what is the root of that murder?
Hate.
Yeah, envy.
Envy.
Covetousness.
Yep.
And these are the root, as the Catechism will speak later, of murder. And so, because you haven't killed anybody, does that mean you're not a murderer?
No.
And I think this is the greatness that we miss, isn't it? That when you look at your heart, you recognize as the law of God applied to the soul condemns us all as murderers, haters, liars, adulterers, thieves, covetous, blasphemers. And you might not have said it outwardly, you might not have done these things outwardly, but you've thought of them in your heart. And Jesus said that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already. What's the remedy? What can I do? The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, I had that 2 seconds ago.
Good. And that's where does he takes away from the temporal condition, and he looks to the only hope in the Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what, understanding the greatness of your sin and misery, you got one hope. And his name is Jesus. And the call of the gospel is to believe on him. And as Jesus said, you heavy laden, your burden, come to me. Because I will give you rest. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencercus.com. There you will find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.